A reading from Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
The next reading is from Luke chapter 2, this first 7 verses. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
The next reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. After Jesus was born, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the baby who was born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this new king of the Jews, he was troubled, and all the people in Jerusalem were troubled too. Herod called a meeting of all the leading priests and teachers of the law. He asked them where the Christ would be born. They answered, "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea. The prophet wrote about this in the scriptures. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are important among the rulers of Judah. A ruler will come from you. He will be like a shepherd for my people, the Israelites." Then Herod had a secret meeting with the wise men from the east. He learned from them the exact time they first saw the star. Then Herod sent the wise men back to Bethlehem. He said to them, "Go and look carefully to find the child. When you find him, come and tell me. Then I can go and worship him too." The wise men heard the king and then left. They saw the same star they had seen in the east. It went before them until it stopped above the place where the child was. When the wise men saw the star, they were filled with joy. They went to the house where the child was and saw him with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped the child. They opened the gifts they had brought for him. They gave him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Well, it's a great pleasure to see you all here this evening. If you don't know me, my name is Chris Jenkins, and I'm the minister of Christchurch, and I'd love to get to know you afterwards, perhaps over a glass of mulled wine. So do stay and have a chat to us. I wonder, what do you make of Christmas? I think there are certain things we would all agree are lovely. Coming to a carol service, drinking mulled wine, eating mince pies, seeing a child's face light up on Christmas morning, being with friends and family, and so on. There are certain things I love about Christmas. I love walking through town and seeing the lights. I love singing carols. However, shopping, in the crowds, feeling bloated, being under financial pressure, being under time pressure, I sometimes wonder what we've done with Christmas. Our Bible readings this evening bring us back to the true meaning of Christmas. We began in Isaiah 9. This is one of hundreds of prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament, which are fulfilled in the New Testament. This convinces me that the Bible is true. All kinds of details are predicted. For example, where he would be born and how he would die. Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 read like contemporary accounts of Jesus' death, and yet they were written hundreds of years before he was born. If you're not a believer, you've got to account for that. I love the Christmas story in Luke's Gospel. He begins by taking us to Mary, to the account of how the angel Gabriel appeared to her and told her that she was going to have a baby, even though she was a virgin, something else that Isaiah prophesied, and that the child would be God's son. Luke's a very careful historian. He builds his history on eyewitness accounts. Mary was clearly one of those eyewitnesses. In Luke 2, we get the astonishing story of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, as the prophet Micah foretold. The most touching aspect of the story is that there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus was an outcast and a stranger from the beginning. He who was the Son of God, the Lord of heaven and earth, rich beyond description, became utterly impoverished and rejected at his birth, something which set the tone for his life. Another Old Testament prophecy describes him as despised and rejected. This is how things turned out. That's how things have continued to this day. No other religious leader has his name used as a swear word. Contrast, however, the shepherds and the angels in Luke 2, 8 to 16. Jesus is rejected by society, but the lowest of the low, the shepherds, are welcomed in to worship him at his birth. This is what God is like. He's astonishingly loving. Jesus is unspeakably humble. I'm sure you know the story. The shepherds are in their fields at night. An angel appears to them, tells them that a savior, a rescuer, has been born, and that he is Christ the Lord. Christ means God's anointed king. They are to go to Bethlehem and find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Then a great choir of angels appears, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." The birth of Jesus brings glory to God. God is glorified in his self-giving. God becomes man. God is born as one of us, born to save us. And this brings glory to God. God could have chosen to glorify himself in all kinds of ways. But this is how he chooses to do it: by being born in poverty, which sets him on a path to crucifixion. Well, the shepherds hurry into Bethlehem, and they become the first evangelists. They glorify and praise God for all that they had seen. And then, of course, there are the wise men. It's often said, and I'll repeat it tonight, wise men seek Jesus. They did 2,000 years ago, and they do tonight. They weren't kings. There weren't three of them. They didn't come to the manger. They arrived about 2 years later, when Jesus was a toddler. But they looked for Jesus, and they didn't stop looking until they'd found him. And when they found him, they bowed down and they worshipped him. I wonder, can you relate to that? Have you found what you're looking for? Have you found meaning and purpose in life? The wise men show us that Jesus is the one we must seek above all else, even if it is extremely costly to look for him. Even if it takes effort, great effort, we must seek Jesus. Why is that? Well, our final reading from John's Gospel draws all the threads together. John leaves us in no doubt that Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Why does it matter that a baby was born to Mary 2,000 years ago? It's because the baby is God. And the baby grew up. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He never said anything he regretted. He never did anything of which he was ashamed. He lived a perfect life. Then he died on the cross. He paid there for the sin of us. As he died on the cross, Jesus was made a sacrifice for sin. Our sin was loaded onto him. He took the punishment we deserved, not because he had to, but because he chose to. He loved us. And so he chose to experience hell, the wrath of God, the just penalty for our sin, so that we might experience heaven, relationship with God, being right with God. John is very clear that most people rejected Jesus. They still do. But verse 12, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So there's the message of Christmas. Jesus is God. God become man. Our part is to receive him, to believe in his name, to believe that he is God, come to save us. And in this way, we become children of God. We know God as our Father. We know our sins forgiven. We know that Jesus has dealt with our sin. We can be set free from guilt and shame and hell. It would be a great shame this Christmas to get caught up in the trimmings of Christmas and to miss the main point. What will you do with Jesus? Will you receive him? Or will you say to him, no room. No room in my life. No room in my heart. Thank you for coming here this evening. I guess many here would like to receive Jesus, but you have questions. Is it true? Can you trust the Bible? And so on. On your chairs, you'll find response cards. They give you an opportunity to find out more about the Christian faith by coming to future events or by coming to our Christianity Explored course. Christianity Explored is an opportunity to explore the Christian faith and to ask any questions you may have. We'd love to have you on our next course. Many people have found it very helpful. So take a moment to fill that in before you go home and put them in the box on the way through to the mulled wine. But now, before we sing again, let me pray. Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you that Jesus is God, and that he was born as one of us. God became a human being to live a perfect life and then to die on the cross in our place as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. Father, we want to receive Jesus this Christmas, to make him our King and our Rescuer. So, Lord, give us the grace to do that and then to live for him with all of our being. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.